But first, here's our conversation with Nick Lowe from late 2024. Nick Lowe has been making music for 57 years. He has pioneered pub rock, power pop, and new wave. Nick is often described as Britain's greatest living songwriter. In addition to his extensive solo work, he was a member of the propulsive late 70s rock band, Rockpile. Nick's hit songs include Cruel to Be Kind, The Rose of England, and 1974's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, whose profound message resonates now more than ever. Nick told us he wasn't sure he wanted to make another album. Fortunately for his dedicated fans, Nick changed his mind and worked with his Yep Rock Records label mates, Low Straitjackets, the world's leading instrumental guitar band. The opening track on the new album, Indoor Safari, is called Went to a Party, which Nick co-wrote with the masked men of Low Straitjackets.
Well, I had the rough idea for it. I didn't really know if it would work or not, but I showed them the outline of my idea, and we just sort of put it together ourselves. Most of the songs, I've got them pretty much finished. When I present them to the boys, you know, they're pretty much done and dusted. Of course, they do their brilliant thing to, you know, to the chords, you know, and invent these riffs and things like that. But I thought that they really played a part in putting the song together. And it's nice to be able to share the love, shall we say, you know, with and cut everyone in on the publishing, because I thought that would be a popular number, you know, when I thought up the basic idea of it. You know, it seems to be a very, very useful little tune.
I went to a party, it was jumping and I went for it hardy. I had on my pants suit, started jigging to the one with the jazz group.
There's a verse in which you reference a Robin Hitchcock song. What is the story behind these lyrics?
Well, Robin, who's a friend of mine, we've got a sort of running joke. He's always saying that he's constantly stopped in the street, in airports, train stations, etc., by people saying, "Oh, hi, Nick. You know, when are you playing?" And you know, and because we both got white hair and specs, you know. I know he's exaggerating, you know. I know, but I'm sure it does happen, because it's happened to me. I've been mistaken for him. But generally, at his shows, when I've been attending one of his shows, people sometimes think I'm Robin. And I just thought it'd be a funny line to have a guy come up to the protagonist at this mythical party and say to me.
Said I got all your stuff. It's just sublime. But for me, your best is for better time. I said, where do I sign up?
The joke is that he quotes a record that I didn't write. It's one of Robin Hitchcock's records, Propeller Time.
You and Low Straitjackets are well on the case with Indoor Safari. It's a great collection of songs, and one of my favorite songs is Crying Inside. I'm a sucker for lyrical dissonance, and you've got these slob and tearjerker lyrics paired with this very upbeat, catchy song.
But my repartee is just to disguise all the hurt I'm trying to hide, 'cause I'm crying, I'm crying inside.
It's a theme that laughing in public, you know, despairing in private, you know, it's a theme which I has recurred in several of my songs. I'm sort of fascinated by it, you know. And although I don't, you know, I'm not a putting your diary to music guy, you know, I make stuff up, but it is a theme that I'm really interested in. There's something sort of vaguely humorous about it, I think. And so I have visited it, but no, that just came, I just thought it was a catchy tune. It's not the best song I've ever written, but it certainly makes a very good, I think it's a grade A filler track.
yeah. No, it is. It's a very good song. Indoor Safari is your first new release in 11 years. And I'm curious, was this delayed due to the passing of your longtime drummer, Bobby Irwin, in 2015, and your producer, Neil Brockbank, in 2017?
Yes, I saw. That did make a tremendous impact on me, because we were colleagues, but also we were such good friends as well. And just to lose the two of them, one after the other, like that, was quite a blow. It really did take the wind out of my sails. But they died just before the release of the Christmas record we made. That was the last thing we did together, and I didn't really want to tour it, you know, when the next Christmas came along. But of course, the thing about a Christmas record is that every Christmas it's brand new again. And after a couple of years, you know, it was suggested that I might do some Christmas shows with the Los Straitjackets. That's how that started. But I had no intention really of recording with Los Straitjackets or them with me. You know, we just got together to do these Christmas shows. And I, in a way, thought that I was done with recording. But here we go. I got talked into it by Yep Rock, who wanted to put the 12 tracks that we released on 3 4-track EPs over about 3 years, I think, onto an album. And in principle, I thought that was a good idea. And to help us do that, we went to see the great Alex Hall, who's a fantastic engineer, producer, and musician, terrific musician, who has a studio in Chicago. I'm a big fan of his. And we went to see him. And we had 2 or 3 new songs to record, which we did with Alex. And he took all the old tapes, and he put this fantastic sound over. He remixed everything and made it sound as if the record was recorded in the same week instead of over 3 years. I think that's why this record has been so well received. I've been saying till I'm blue in the face, look, a lot of these songs have been out before, you know. This isn't brand new material, but nobody seems to care.
Right. And a perfect example of a song that you re-recorded recently is Different Kind of Blue.
I know this kind of feeling. I've had to sit it out a time or two. Usually it comes around when dawn's cruel light's breaking through. But over you, it's a different kind of blue.
Why did you decide to re-record it?
Well, Yep Rock wanted something to put on a B-side of something. And Neil Brockbank, who we were just talking about, sent them this demo that I'd done of a song, Different Kind of Blue, which was a song I wrote towards the end of a phase I went through. And I was writing a lot of these end of a love affair sort of songs. I'd started to get kind of tired of that shtick, you know. Come on, man. You know, let's have a couple of toe tappers, you know. My son, Roy, when we were going along in the car one day, he said, Dad, I dug up this song of yours, Different Kind of Blue. You know, I've never heard it before. It's not on any of the albums. I think it's really good. And we played it in the car, and I thought, well, actually, he's got a point, but I could hear how it could be better, you know, hear how the song could be better. And I could see why we didn't pursue it at the time. And I re-recorded it with Los Straitjackets.
Mm-hmm. Another great song on the new album is Blue on Blue. I love the guitar riff on that one.
Blue on Blue, I've got a message in a song for you. You're like a meal, you run me through. I call you Blue on Blue.
Well, I wrote that when I was on holiday in Italy. It was incredibly hot and a massive heat wave. And so we had to spend most of the day in the farmhouse we'd rented with the blinds, you know, where everything shut, you know, to keep the sun out. And it was almost in the pitch dark. And I started writing that song. But again, it's not autobiographical, really. You know, I'm 75, and I've experienced most of the ups and downs that everyone experiences in their life. And so I use that in my songwriting, but it's not necessarily about me. I make it up. You know, I think of myself really as much more of a craftsman than an artist. You know, I make artistic decisions when I'm writing songs, but I don't think that I have to tell people my day-to-day experiences, you know, which aren't particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that you're right to do that, because you come up with much better songs as a result. Jeff Tweedy of Wilco has said that there's an energy that you convey in all of your songs, and this energy is full of whimsy, irony, and sincerity. And I really agree with that. How do you pull this off?
I honestly don't know. It's not something that I do on purpose, but I've found when people talk about this sort of humor in my songs, there is a sort of a trick that I've learned that if you're writing in the first person, you know, I did this, I did that. Another thing I'm interested in, another subject I'm interested in is how you cope, how someone copes when they're feeling very blue indeed. Not really depressed. It's more like heartbreak, that sort of thing. There's something humorous in the way people do mundane, stupid things, get things wrong in their day-to-day life when they're trying to cope with something really, really heart-wrenching. And you can ramp up the poignancy in a song lyric by talking about how someone dropped the car keys down the drain or something like that. You know, those little things that happen that are kind of funny, you know, they're funny to mention in a song, especially a sad song, but it sort of has the effect of ramping up the poignancy and making it sadder. You know, if you put humor in there, it makes it more apparent how fed up the person in the song is.
I woke up early with love starvation, hugging my pillow all alone in a rickety bed. Maybe if it's any consolation, the needle's in the rear. It only hit me when I went by a mirror, just when I saw what was written all over my face. I'm suffering love starvation, a very bad case.
That's just a sort of a lyrical technique, you know, that I've developed. Maybe that's what Jeff was talking about.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Very, very well said. You have said that you welcome in the things that you don't really like about yourself. And I find this kind of vexing, because you're Nick Lowe. What is there not to like about yourself?
Well, it's quite a lot of things, really. I suppose it all comes down to Johnny Cash, in fact, it was, who once said to me, "Nick, what you got to do in this business is to figure out how to be yourself." And I remember when he said that to me, I was very disappointed, you know, and thought, man, you know, can't you come up with something a little bit better than that? I mean, that's what every sort of old comedian, you know, on talk show will say, you know, oh, yes, just go out and be yourself and the audiences will react. And it's a bit of a cliche, but the older I've got, the more I understand what he was sort of getting at, because he definitely had figured out how to be himself. And nobody else was like Johnny Cash, you know, he was totally, totally unique, even though he's influenced loads of people. But it's because he managed to make a virtue out of the fact that his voice was kind of wobbly, you know, and yet everyone loved it, you know. The fact that it was so simple, almost primitive, you know, his first record. He figured that out and figured that that's what touched people and was the soulful thing. And when you start out, you're young, you're trying to cop an act, you know, you're trying to impersonate someone who's a hero of yours. And you think, no one wants to come and see actually me, you know, because I'm not interesting enough. And so you're always trying to pretend you're somebody else until it gets to a stage when you think, what the heck is the point of this? You know, I might as well just cop to it, the fact that I'm white middle class guy, you know, I'm not from Nashville, you know, or Memphis or anything like that. I'm from the suburbs of London. You've got to just embrace it, and then hey presto, you know, if you can, then it makes life a whole lot easier. You don't have to pretend, you know, that you're, you know, let your guard down. It took me a while to get what Cash was getting at with that apparently tired old remark, but he was addressing me directly.
Yeah, but I don't think there was a lesson for you to learn. But I mean, you certainly, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you inhabit Nick Lowe, which is great, and that's half the battle. You have your own sound, your own style. Nick Lowe, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Indoor Safari and on 57 years of making great music. We're looking forward to 57 more years.
Well, thanks very much for talking to me, Doug. It's been a great pleasure.
Nick Lowe is one of Britain's greatest living songwriters. His latest album is called Indoor Safari and features Low Straitjackets. Find out more about Nick and Indoor Safari at wpr.org/beta.
James Brown's music was, for African Americans, proof that Africa really was over there.
Coming up, music producer and author Joe Boyd joins us to talk about his book, And the Roots of Rhythm Remain. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.